Roy brings another opportunity to us tonight when the church across the nation gets together to say, hey, we're here, we want to make an impact, and we've got big hopes for our communities. Before Roy comes up, Roy's a dear friend, a massive impact on my life. Gavin was with us a couple of weeks ago, wasn't he? And Roy, again, from Youth of Christ, hugely significant in my own story. We chatted a little bit about that before. Roy and I had a particular conversation in a particular place that we won't mention, Roy might, that had a profound impact on my life, and I remain grateful too. Part of me being here is part of what Roy's invested in me, so it's great to have Roy with us, I hope, in a minute. Before Roy does that, I just want to welcome Nick. Nick's the director of Together for the Harvest, and just wants to share a little more of the Together for the Harvest vision for the moment. Nick, thank you.
Thanks, Martin. It is a great privilege to be together, isn't it? And to be together for the harvest, which Jesus has said is plentiful. At the age of 11, I was invited to a Christian youth group that was run by one of the teachers in my school. And I was not brought up in a Christian home, and this guy who invited me had only become a Christian recently. And through that, at the age of 12, I became a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And I've been following him for the last 50 years, which has been an amazing blessing. It's had its ups and downs. But if he hadn't invited me, where would I be today? If he hadn't had the courage to come cross over a psychological barrier and invite me to that youth group, where would I be today? Probably in a complete mess. Helen, who's in our local church community at work, bumped into a girl who we'll call Liz, who lives just around the corner from here, actually. She was in an abusive relationship. Her brother had died with a genetic illness when he was 18. She had the same disease and therefore had the same life expectancy. She was now well on in those years. She was nearly 30, but you know, who knows how long she had. And Helen invited her to an Alpha course in our home as part of our local community. And gradually she found her way to faith. She definitely belonged before she believed. And then she got baptized. She got prayed for. She went forward for prayer for healing. The last time she went to see her consultant, the consultant said, you know what, I think you might outlive me, that you might actually have a normal lifespan, because she was doing so well. Jesus changes lives, doesn't he? And that's why we're passionate about this good news, getting the good news out there. The problem is this: most of us lack the confidence to reach out to somebody else with the good news, to share our story with them, and to invite them into a situation where they can also come to faith. And Together for the Harvest is about helping the church, supporting church leaders and churches to help their members grow in confidence, to be that good news where they live, work, and play. And so we're thrilled to be already working with many, many church leaders. We'd love to work with more. And what we're doing is building networks of leaders all around the region, the six boroughs of the city region, in order to help that vision work out locally. We'd love you, if you're not already a member of TFH, to consider that. You can do so at the table in the other room afterwards. We'd love you to at least receive our mailings. And if you're part of a network of leaders you think would be interested in talking about this, we'd love to hear from you. We'd also love to come to your churches and to share something of TFH vision, just to take a few minutes to do that. We'd also love to offer you the opportunity to get training for your church members to grow in that missional confidence. Just imagine if every member of your church through the year was looking for opportunities to tell their faith story, to start conversations with people they'd never met before, to invite them into regular activities taking place in their church where they would hear the gospel and have an opportunity to come to Christ. It's not rocket science. It takes the whole church to reach the whole region. I believe we could see the church in this region double in 12 months if our churches were fully equipped and trained to do that. So please talk to us if you'd like to know more. Please do go to the TFH desk afterwards, sign up, get on the mailing list, take some of the literature, or come and speak to me at the end. We'd love to talk to you some more and be involved with you in your church. Thanks very much. Roy, over to you.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. My name's Roy Crown, and I live in Rugby, and it's a pleasure and a real privilege to be with you here in Liverpool. What a great city.
Amen.
It's also my privilege to share something of what Hope is up to. And I just want to give a bit of the story And then I want to tell you what it looks like, or what it could look like, for 2018 in this particular region. I've had the privilege of being part of a number of Kingdom Come events, where cathedral gatherings, beacon events have gone on. And they've invited me to come along to those events to say, this is prayer for evangelism. And isn't it amazing that two archbishops have called the whole nation to pray for evangelism? I mean, we need to recognise what God has done over the period of years. We are living in a unique place for the Church of Jesus Christ. I have to say, I've been around in ministry a long time, but I've never known a time or a season where evangelism is at the front of every church. And I didn't even say every church. Certainly within the structures of those churches, but it is going down to other areas. So it's been a privilege to speak at these events. And what they said is, we want to prepare for 2018, and we want to launch this at this particular prayer gathering. So it's been at those cathedrals that I've been part of to see what that could look like in their region, in their community. What I'm going to share with you tonight is basically what it looks like, or what it could look like, for this whole region. What it could look like for a city, a town, and a village. But do you all know how Ho'opo'e was born? Do I need to go there? Yeah, I do. Okay. Well, I'll just go back a little bit. I used to be National Director of Youth of Christ when I met with Martin and various other amazing people. And I have to say that it was a privilege to serve in Youth for Christ. But one of the things that I felt, and two other youth ministries felt, is there's a real possibility of ministries being seen as other ministries as the competition. Now, I know that's not true here, but it could be true. And it could definitely be true in youth ministry. And so we worked really hard at that not happening. And once a term, we would meet together. A guy called Andy Hawthorne, based up in Manchester. I think he believes the second coming is going to happen in Manchester. And then Mike Pilavarci, who runs an event called Soul Survivor, and myself when I was with Youth for Christ. And we just met together and said, let's pray together. And let's just not compete. So if you're doing certain things, I'm going to bless what you're doing. If we're doing certain things, let's just, out of relationship, remove that suspicion and build trust. And it was a very meaningful time. It was amazing. We did a few things together. We did Festival Manchester. Then we did Soul in the City, London in 2004. And then we would get invited to cities all over the place to say, come and serve. And we held the tension of two things, which was basically word and action. We didn't see a division between loving unconditionally our communities and preaching the gospel. Amen. We can't separate those two, because Jesus never did. If we can work together, we were convinced that God's favor, according to Psalm 133, we were convinced that working together was key. And so we said, let's find a way for churches to work together. And the final piece that we had a part of Ho'opo'e was, it's not just business as usual. Let's take a step of faith. Let's step out and do what we wouldn't normally do. And so Ho'opo'e was born out of that. And off the back of that, there was a full evaluation. How did we do? It's great when you're in something where God's favour and blessing, it's just there. It's a privilege to be part of it. It was a privilege to be part of Ho'opo'e in just seeing what God did around the nation through that particular initiative. And what we discovered was that many churches came together. We're just doing a report where we discover that food banks came out of Ho'opo'e. Street pastors, they had three at the beginning of Ho'opo'e. Now they have over 400 areas. And Les Isaac said it all came and grew from Ho'opo'e. Food. There's a whole stack of things that happened as the church looked out and discovered need and said, we can meet that need. And many people look back to Ho'opo'e was where the seed thought of that, came about. There's a whole stack of other things, but that was the seed thought. So in 09, we did this evaluation, and then church leaders said, hope shouldn't stop, because you became an umbrella where churches could work together. They didn't have to sign up to a statement of faith. Basically, if you like Jesus, you could join. That was pretty much the way it was. And we said, let's find a way to work together. And Hope was then born. We changed the name to hopetogether.org because that's the website. And Hope 08 was kind of being used, so we couldn't go with that. And I then stepped down from Youth of Christ, and I was invited to take on this particular role. And we've done a few things. We have served the church, I think, genuinely to make the local church look great. That's what we've sought to do. And we've sought to honour local church leaders. And we've said to them, will this work for you? Because if it works for you, then we're going to offer it to you and bless you, but we're going to hold with the same values. And so we've done a few things that you may be aware of. It was the Queen's Diamond Jubilee in 2012. And prophetically, we saw, what is the church going to do around 2012 to honour and serve in the Diamond Jubilee? So we produced a New Testament in the form of the Union Jack on it. And that New Testament, we thought we might sell 50,000. We sold 750,000. Because schools booked it. They used it. It just went everywhere. And it was given out at street parties. It was given out in communities. It was engaged in school. It was going to an old people's home. And the church was at the heart of those commemorations. And they were able to bring the word and action into those communities. So we did that in 2012. In 2014, we recognised there was another prophetic thing that was going on, where the nation was going to be commemorating the First World War. And again, the church needs to be the heart of these prophetic moments where the nation is going to recognise these dates. And so around that particular time, we said and discovered, and it was amazing to discover this, we discovered in analysing what happened at the First World War, that on Christmas Day, you probably know the story, the Germans and the British in three places in the front stopped fighting and played football. But they also sang a Christmas carol, Silent Night. Somebody asked me once, who won? I don't think that's the issue in the football. But what happened was that we produce, again, John's gospel that was given to every serviceman that signed up for the war. And it was a commemorative gospel. And then we said to churches, you put on a Christmas carol service in a football ground. We had six premiership clubs that put on carol service that had never put on a carol service in a stadium in one of the stands. And we had 120 other football clubs that put on a Christmas carol service. And because it was the Christmas truce, they all recognised that it's something we'd do. And we wanted a legacy, so a number of those clubs now do it every single year. And you just thank God for that, because that, again, there are two places that men see. Church and football grounds. And so we capitalised on another prophetic moment. That was in 14. In 15, we managed, with the Evangelical Alliance and the Church of England, to bring denominational leaders together to look at what it would mean to re-evangelise the nation over the next 25 years. And we invited them all, and as we invited them all, we didn't know whether they'd come or not, 18 months prior. And we were going to Windermere. We were bringing them out of London and going to Windermere. And a miracle happened. They all said they want to come. And then we thought, oh dear, what are we going to do with them for 24 hours? So we prayed on a boat on Windermere. But we also did a piece of research that I think has had a profound prophetic effect on Christians sharing faith. And it was called Talking Jesus Research. And the Talking Jesus Research, all of a sudden, went to every denomination and every stream. And it's also been presented in many, many churches. It was like a seed that just went and went and went and went, planted in all sorts of situations. Still being planted today. There are still people today that don't know of the TalkingJesus.org research, and you can go on there and see. And it came out with some profound things. I know you've looked at it here, and you've unpacked it and said what it means. Profound things. Like 27% of people come to faith just from reading the Bible. 28% come to faith just by attending a church service. So if we just improve a little bit, all of a sudden things could change. We also discovered 57% of people know a Christian, either friend or family. 57%. And then we asked alongside that, and what do you think of them? And we discovered they like us. We discovered they think we're generous. They think we're fun. They don't think we're homophobic. They don't think we're first. You tell someone that, and all of a sudden they're like, really? Really? That research, we are now revisiting, and we've done it for 11 to 18 year olds by Cumbres again, to see what they think. Because we understood that if we were going to help these church leaders, they needed to know their audience. And we presented the first piece of research. You know what? When we presented it to this group of church leaders, they didn't believe the research. We had the statistician in the audience. And all these so-called believers didn't believe it. And they said, you know, so we then had to go and do more, and we went to a wider constituency, but it didn't change. We also, Rico Tice, who is part of the church in All Souls London, used to always do on Easter, he would always present an apologetic of the resurrection. Because he thought everybody was coming, but they didn't believe the resurrection. 42% of people out there believe Jesus rose from the dead. That's why they come to your Easter service. So don't convince them apologetically, but what they haven't done, they haven't experienced the resurrection. That's the difference. He said it changed his whole Easter sermon to much more invitation. And so we learned a few things. And that was presented in 15. Then 16 was coming. And we're building now. We're building and learning. And we're learning a number of things. And in 16, it was quite amazing. There was an event at Lambeth Palace where a paper was presented on evangelism by the Archbishop. Maybe you want to read that one. And it was a great paper. I was invited to go to that. And when you get invited to Lambeth Palace, you know, they don't do coffee. It's red or white canapes. Anyway.
Sorry, Rod.
That's fine. It's great. And there was a person there, Mark Green, who's a royalist. He loves the Queen. And he said to me, use Prince Charles when you did the remembrance piece. Use Prince William when you did the truce, because he is the president of the FA. What are you going to do with the Queen? And I'm like, nothing. I don't know her. And he said, no, you need to do something with the Queen. And then going away from that, discovering that it was the Queen's 90th birthday, and realizing again, this was a prophetic calendar moment where the nation was going to commemorate the Queen's 90th birthday. and are over 60 years of serving. But how are we going to bring the Christian gospel into that? And who is going to do that? Well, the church needed to do that, didn't it? So we wrote a book. We actually brought the Bible Society together. The reason we brought the Bible Society together in this conversation is because she's patron of the Bible Society. And she sends them a check every month. She needs to know that standing. But, I mean, they were sitting in the room. Mark Green was sitting in the room. Catherine Butcher, who works with me, who's a royalist, was in the room. And we started to put this book together, and I said, it has to be a gift. And it has to be at a price where no one makes any money, so that the church can give it away to have a conversation. Because that's what we need to equip people to do. And we need an excuse. When you give them a gift, they will have a conversation about faith. Just to do it without a gift, I noticed people didn't. But when they had a gift, the conversation about faith. So in this discussion, we were talking about it, and then I said this: we have to get the Queen to write the foreword. To authenticate this book, she has to write the foreword. Otherwise, it's just a book. And they all said, you'll never get the Queen to write a foreword. She's never written a foreword over her entire reign. I said, well, now's the time to start. She's 90. This is the time. And they said, no, she doesn't do it. She does not do it. And this has been recorded in a video, so I can't tell you the story. But there are a few stories where miracles happened, and we got a letter back from the palace saying that the Queen was prepared to write the foreword. It changed the book. It changed the book. And my board then said to me, we're taking the risk on this. My board said to me, how many do we print? I said, well, I think we should initially print 100,000. They said, 100,000? I said, yeah. They said, that's a lot. Do you know any other Christian book that does 100,000? I said, no, but this is different. This is the Queen. And everybody loves the Queen. I haven't met anyone that doesn't love the Queen. They may not be a royalist, but they love the Queen. So they said, okay, we'll take the risk for it. We did 100,000 in 10 days. Within 3 months, we'd sold 1 million copies. And what we discovered is that people were talking about faith using the book. Something to give, and then I'm talking about the Queen's faith, and then I'm talking about my faith. We got stories in our office of emails of people who've come to faith in Christ just as a result of giving the book. Somebody ordered 100 to take on holiday on a cruise ship she was going on. And on a cruise ship, she sent an email saying, I need 200 more. And all those people had time. They were on a cruise ship, they were on a holiday. And she gave, and she said, I would never talk about Jesus. But because I read the book, I had conversations with people about Jesus that you will never believe. And it was the book. It was the book. And I started to discover something. I started to realize this having something to give. That's why it was a privilege to give her the millionth copy of the book. And she was speaking, this is a little aside, but she was speaking at a Maundy-Thursday service in Leicester Cathedral. And they decided to order 3,000 of these books to give to everyone that came to the service. They had to get approval for that back up to the Queen. And a note came back to the Dean of the Cathedral from the Queen saying, I'm so pleased you're giving out my book. It's not her book, it's our book. But what you realise is the favour of God when you work together and when you have an opportunity prophetically you can use that in a profound way. We've had to print another 50,000 copies of that book because 20,000 have already gone this year. People are still using it. And so hope is kind of, I've been passionate about evangelism all my life. I've been passionate about trying to equip ordinary people to share faith. But I discovered something to give helps them so much. And so we did another little pilot this year, this Christmas. And I said, well, let's try a magazine where churches can just give this door to door within their community. One parish bought 3,000 copies of the Queen book and knocked every door and gave their gift to every family. Only 50 people rejected it. And at every conversation, they talked about faith. And I'm like, God, this is amazing. This is amazing. It's partly because of the Queen, but it's a unique moment. And so, I just thought, let's do something for Christmas where they can give it round the doors and talk about faith and invite them to a Christmas service. And so we got a magazine together. We applied for a grant, we got some money, and we were going to make this magazine free, just a pilot, 50,000 copies. But again, I said, the person on the front cover is key. It's key. So who did we get on the front cover? Mary Berry. Somebody said to me recently, well, you've got to stop going for older women. But Mary Berry, because it was Bake Off was kicking off, and a whole stack of people didn't know she had a personal faith in Christ. And when we showed it to people, they said, oh, this is fantastic. I can give this to people at work. I can give this out. And this is amazing. It had Bear Grylls on there, it had football in there, and I discovered something. Again. Something to give enables a conversation about faith. And then you invite them to your Christmas carol service. And people that wouldn't normally say they're evangelists or talk about faith were talking about faith. And I discovered it. I discovered it in our own church. And we had, over Christmas, 250 more visitors because of the book and the magazine, sorry, that we gave out. One church planted on a brand new estate a Christmas carol service. They gave it around to everybody. They had 67 people turn up the carol service in the community to live in a brand new building estate. Three people came expecting to see Mary Berry. So I'm learning some things. I'm learning that just to do it as an evangelist is really difficult, but how do I help ordinary people? Something to give works. Something to give really works. If it's credible and quality and just works. And so we did that magazine, and I'm now sold on a magazine for Christmas. And we're going to print 1 million copies of the magazine for this Christmas, where every church can give at Christmas and then invite them to their Christmas carol service. And do pray. So you see, and because we're the whole church, we're not one stream. Because we represent all, and we've got the funding for you, because you can print a magazine, it's really nice, full colour, looks great. It's also got some advertising in it. We can print that for 7p a copy. And it's quality, and your church can just give it out. And we want to do it this Christmas, building onto 18. But that's going to happen in 17. The other thing that I've learned is we must be intentional, but we must engage with our communities. So we as a leadership team were sitting around saying, what's going to be different about 2018? What could this look like for 2018? Well, we are convinced, and I've spoken to every denominational leader about this, I've been to diocesan areas, I've been to synods, I've sacrificed. I've been to all these gatherings, and I've said, could you as a church commit to grow by 10% in 2018? So if you're 30, that's 3. If you're 100, if you're 400, but could you commit to do that? All of a sudden it becomes achievable. And these are intentional new followers of Jesus. When we were discussing this as a leadership team, Yemi and Addy on our leadership team are from Black Majority Church. They said, Roy, 10%? That's pathetic. We can never tell our people 10%. It's got to be 50% or 100%. You have no faith, you white boys. We've got so much to teach you. I'm like, no, I know my constituency. If you want 50%, they always say, can't do it. But could we all agree to 10%? Listen, if we all agree to 10% and we all do it, in 1 year, we reverse this trend. In 1 year. All of a sudden, it can be done. So I'm speaking at the Methodist Conference in July. I'm speaking at Synod in July, at York. Bishops' Conference. URC. They're all saying, yeah, we're in. And we want all our churches to grow by 10%. Imagine the impact. Some of these churches haven't seen anyone come to faith, and they're discussing it. And it came out, Steve Wilde was the president of the Methodist Church, and in his presidential address, not this year, last year, he stood up and said, I want every Methodist church, and there are thousands, to lead one person to Jesus in my presidential year. And the ripples went out. Now he's an evangelist, Steve Wilde. He's an amazing evangelist. But let me tell you what was happening. Stewardship groups, partnership groups, committees right across the Methodist Church were discussing what the president had put forward. And I discovered, be intentional and put a growth on it. And so that's why we're going for 10%. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's achievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can all do that. And then if we're all in it together, then you discover at certain streams and certain places, certain areas, all of a sudden, you start to, and it's just a little statement, but it's there. So we're saying, could we grow our church by 10% in 2018? I've given you a bit of history, but let me just give you the way that could look. So, we recognise also that building an invitational strategy is really, really important. That there's the invitation in the gospel, but there's invitational calendar moments that the church needs to embrace. So again, not that I'm sold on books, don't get me on that, but we produced this Easter. And we basically said, if someone's interested but doesn't want a journey into life or to be a follower of Jesus, what do I give them next as the Jesus story? What is there out there? And I discovered there wasn't a lot. So we produced a book identical to the Queen book that just is the Jesus story. And everyone that came to an Easter service, you could give this as a gift. It's a pound a book. But also, we've discovered this could be something you could give to anyone that you're in conversation with. And so we are recognising, and the look and feel is really important. And so we've produced this. You probably know in the Queen book we had a corgi, just to keep the reader going, on this we had a donkey. But for Easter, and we only got it out 4 weeks before Easter, 15,000 copies were sold. One church ordered 50, and they had 30 guests at their Easter service. They gave everyone a gift of the book. And from that one Easter service, they'd seen 15 come to faith. But they made their Easter service invitational. They made it invitational. And they were intentional about communicating the gospel. And they hadn't done that. They hadn't done that. And so, we're learning. We're a bit slow, but we're learning. And so, I kind of thought, what can we help you with? And in the book that you see on your table, this Hope Agenda book, brochure, we've kind of given a pattern of what the year could look like. And it's found just here. So what we've said is this could be the rhythm of your year. Because to say to people do evangelism all the time is a challenge. But build invitational moments around the Christian calendar, but also around prophetic moments that happen either nationwide or in your community. And so what we have done is we have a bit of a mantra, and it's really, for me, we've done this with my church that I'm part of, and everybody now gets it. First of all, pray for 5 people. Why 5? The Talking Jesus research shows that 20% of people are open to an experience of the love of God. 20%. Church leader came up to me. I find church leaders, I love them to bits. I love the church. I want to serve them. But I do find some of the things they say amazing. I presented this 20%, and he came up to me and he said, "Yes, boy, but that means 80% are not." I said, "Yeah, but if you were in business, you wouldn't go after the 80% that are not. You go after the 20% that are." But finding the 20% that are. So if you want to invite someone to a service, you've got to invite 5 to get 1. But you give up 1. But if you invite 5, you'll probably get 1. And then pray for 5. So this whole strategy around the kingdom come, which has been phenomenal, it's pray for 5. Pray for 5. So pray. I was speaking at a black majority church, and as I arrived at this black majority church, and I love them to bits, they're amazing, but they're so different. I arrived in the foyer area, and there was a list of names in the foyer. I said to the pastor, "What's this list of names?" He said, "We're right." And it's very hierarchical in the black majority church. He said, "You were speaking at our minister's conference, and you told us we need to pray for 5. And we're doing it." I said, "Great. What's the names?" He says, "Those are all the names." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you all have to put on 5 names, and they're on the wall." I said, "What if they come?" "Oh, it doesn't matter. They're on the wall." And I said, "What's the ones with the line through?" "Oh," he says, "they've come to faith." I'm like, "Wow, you see your line through?" I'm like, it's black majority church. It's just what they do. They do things differently. But pray for 5. Get people to pray for 5. Some of them don't even know 5. I was at a cathedral, and the bishop led on this pray for 5. He talked about his sister. Talked about a friend that is, and all of a sudden 5, and all of a sudden everybody else here, I do have 5. There are 5 people. Then we recognise you've got to have something to say. When you're 4 symbols, it's a great thing to something to say, but we need to help people with what to say. We really do, because Talking Jesus research again showed that a lot of people, after you've had a conversation with them about the gospel, were really pleased that they didn't follow Jesus. So what is happening in that conversation? What is going on? We've got to help people with something to say. And so we're actually working on this at the moment, producing a video course, but not with evangelists. Because so many people, ordinary people, can't relate to the evangelist. I mean, the evangelist sits on a bus and all of a sudden they turn the conversation around. This person's saying the prayer to accept Jesus, and as they get off the bus stop, they're filling out a standing order. I mean, it is amazing. But most people, it don't happen like that. So having that person doesn't inspire me with confidence. I want a mechanic. I want a person in an office. I want a person that's working in research. And most of our training in evangelism is very good with the passing person, not the permanent person. We've trained people to meet the passing permanent. So this is how you do it on the street. Say a prayer. Do this. We're good at that. For spiritual, we're good at that. But I'm meeting this person every day in the office. They're permanently in my life. How do I do that? How do I work with the permanent? They are my friends. And they are my family. And you keep training me in the passing. I want help with the permanent. So help me with the permanent. And that's where some of the give with the permanent. That's where actually some of the stories. A social worker became a senior social worker, follower of Jesus, didn't share their faith until 4 months in. And it was as a result of someone else that told this person, you know, they're a Christian. And the social worker that was serving under him said, I can't believe he's a Christian. Because he's such a good social worker. But his credibility for the gospel, maybe it wasn't right to declare it straight. You see, I think we haven't worked hard at helping people with that. On the permanent relationship. So we're gonna do something around that. Something to give, you've heard. But the final piece of this mantra is you've got to have something to invite them to. And it could just be an ordinary church service. Because 27% come to faith just from attending a church service. All of a sudden it's possible. But then you have these calendar moments. And I'm calling it a rhythm of mission. Whereby these are your intentional, invitational moments. Easter is an invitational moment. So what we're doing in 18 is we are producing a book called 40 Stories of Hope. And it's going to be of prisoners that have come to faith in Christ. And it's going to be used, and we've just got approval from this, in every single prison in the UK. During Lent. And the prisoners will go through the stories of hope. And it'll have Bible studies around the Easter story. Churches together in Britain and Ireland are going to make this their Lent course. But we're also saying this is a great preparation for your Easter service. Where people can connect with their local prison, also discover stories of hope, but alongside that, people will be praying and thinking and reflecting, how can I make our Easter service an invitational? Because so many of our Easter services are just for us. This is a moment for them. This is an invitational gospel moment. And my dream is to make that Jesus Day right across the nation. So any church you go into, anywhere, the gospel is going to be preached. Wouldn't that be amazing? In 2018. On Easter. Kingdom come next year. It's thy will be done. And they're partnering with Hope. So every will be done will have a hope expression alongside it next year in 18. Then, there's another calendar moment, which is harvest. Harvest is an increasing colour at the moment because of food banks. So in Rugby, where I live, every client that got a food bank last year, we're planning to do it again this year, we invited them to a Harvest Thanksgiving. And guess what? They all came. And we said, we've given you this as a gift, but we need to tell you that we thank God. Because he provides. The mayor came. The MPs came. Because of food bank. And it was a great harvest moment. And so what we're producing, again just to resource, is to say, we're going to give you a pack where you can have food with friends around harvest. And it's just a relational. It's not to preach the gospel. It's just food with friends. We've got some celebrities that are going to do recipes for you. We're going to give you placemats, the whole nine yards. So everyone in your church, in their street, at Harvest, has food with friends. That's it. That's all you do. But after you've had food with friends, maybe you're building and thinking towards Christmas. But the other thing about 18, which will be massive in our nation, is it's the end of the First World War. So the 11th of the 11th is on a Sunday. We have managed to secure the Archbishop to produce a card, and the British Legion have agreed to this, for a prayer and a little reflection to give to everyone that comes to a remembrance moment on the 11th of the 11th. So all your churches need to change your time, and you need to be there. But it's not just remembrance. You see, at the end of the First World War, everyone had lost. But there was also celebration. So what we're saying as a church, do remembrance in the morning, but then put a hog roast on in the afternoon. Because that's what they did. 100 years ago. They probably didn't have a hog roast. But they did celebrate. The other thing about that is you probably know that George V, 100 years back, called the Commonwealth to pray for peace. It didn't happen until August the 4th. And on August the 4th, everyone prayed for peace. We've approached the Queen to see if her link back to George V, whether she would call people to pray for peace on the 4th of August. Any faith, but pray for peace. But then you've got 99 days to do peacemaking things up until the 11th of the 11th. Schools, junior schools, churches. Peacemaking. We are peacemakers. Building towards the 11th of the 11th. And the 11th of the 11th, let me tell you, will be massive. It's grown year on year. But this will be big. And as they reflect, we want to be there. To talk about hope. And the gospel. In the context of that situation. How cool is that? And then the final bit of the year is Christmas. And we recognise that Christmas is important. We recognise it's probably our best opportunity. And we need to communicate the gospel everywhere at Christmas. But how do you call for a response at Christmas? I did something this last year where I'm constantly thinking as an evangelist, how do you get the response? How do you do the invitation? So what I did at Christmas, and then we can take questions. I'll pick up two more slides and then we'll take questions. Everywhere I went, I said, listen, many of us as Christians, we want to thank God for the gift of his son. So I'd like us all to stand and just say a prayer. thanking God for the gift of his Son, that says salvation has come in the world and we can be forgiven for sins. That's all in the statements that are made at his birth. So I'd all love us to stand and say this prayer. Everybody prays. And then I said, you probably said that prayer, some of you, for the very first time. If you did that, I'd just love you to tell me. And the hands go up all over the place. But what I discovered is more and more people prayed the prayer because they felt we're all praying this prayer. And all of a sudden I'm part of this family that is praying this prayer. Rather than calling out ones or twos, I discovered that more and more people responded, and they were shocked that they'd kind of prayed for the first time. And I discovered that all of a sudden the joint prayer as the family of God, and it's great for those that are Christians to restate it out loud, greater fruit than I've ever seen on people coming to faith. Because it seemed a really natural, normal thing to do, to thank God together for the gift of his Son. And then just saying, if you said that for the first time, I'd just like, you see, there are ways that we can do this that are invitational and are very natural and just provide those moments for you to embrace all that God's has. So I'm learning. I'm learning massively. But I'm committed to seeing the way that this can all happen and what it could look like. That's the rhythm. So what we're into is, we're into this harvest time. What we're saying to churches, you, whole diocese are going to brand whatever they do with the Hope logo for this year. Now, we're not saying you have to do that, but if you want to do that, it shows association, a bit like what you did with the four. It, all of a sudden, people see it everywhere, and they just acknowledge, oh, yeah, we're part of that, we're doing that. And the invitational moments, then they do that. We will be doing another Christmas magazine. We're also thinking of doing an Easter magazine in 18, just to serve you again with what we've discovered is a lot of churches are doing the social engagement. They need help on the gospel piece. So we're saying, how can we help you with the gospel piece? Because we do hold both, but we recognise there's a challenge there, so we're going to help you with that. If you don't get our e-news and when these things will be coming out and when they'll be available, fill out that white form. If you're already on our email, then don't fill it out. But if you're not, and you would love to access when these dates, when the thing's available, how can I access it? Fill that form out and leave it with me at the end, and we'll put you on our e-news mailing so that you will get the information. And we really want to bless you. So wherever possible, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you. But the only condition is, you've got to use it. You've got to use it. Because I'm not going to give it to you if you're not going to use it. And Jesus will cause you to burn in hell anyway. The final piece is that we recognise that the local church is the only hope for your community. So everything we do is how can we make that local church be the best it can be in its community. And so that's everything we're doing to make you look amazing. And that's why we're in existence. What happens after 18? I don't know. People keep asking me that. Let's just get 18 done. It's 10 years on from Hope Away, but I think if you drop the seed thought of 10% coming to faith in that year, maybe you'll do it in 19 and 20. And it will be part of. Now I recognise there's seasons. I recognise that inner church is coming in life. But I think we're coming into a season of harvest. And I think the season is where we are. And there are some great opportunities in 18 for us to do that. I've probably said enough. I'm excited. I am privileged to serve all these denominational leaders and say to them, how can we do this? What could this look like? In Blackburn, just last week, they brought all their clergy together. There were three bishops, and the bishop said, we are looking for this 10%. We are praying for this 10%, and we want every one of you to do it. I was amazed at the response at the end. Some felt really nervous, very apprehensive, but they all said, with God's help, we're going to have a go. And I think that's it. We're giving them an excuse for you to have a go. And whatever expression of church you are, let's have a go. And where we can have a go together, I think we're stronger. And maybe you could put on some things. We're also talking of the passion in Trafalgar Square. They've agreed to let us live stream that to whoever wants to use it on Good Friday afternoon at 3:15. So if you want to live stream to a group of people or a community or a shopping centre, we can live stream that to you of the passion that will be played out in Trafalgar Square in 2018, if it provokes a conversation. We do whatever we can, but we know it's the local people, we know it's empowering that person to have a conversation and for the church's calendar to build those invitations. Amen?
Amen.
Questions? Yes, sir.
Where do we get the video? Because I would have loved to have been 300 people here, Roy. I want to take that message to others. Is that possible? Is that what we're thinking here? Can we take that somewhere?
The video of tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be made available to everyone.
Okay. Good. Thank
you. I don't know how you get it, but...
We'll send you a Dropbox or something.
Yeah,
good.
Yes. Guy King will come next year. I believe it's going to be a national invitation, weekend of invitation. Would that say something about that?
Yeah, so what he's thinking, and again, not being prescriptive, but they're saying, thy will be done, is what the prayer initiative will be from Ascension to Pentecost. Building to June, where there's a weekend of invitation, where churches can look at that particular weekend as a special service of invitation. A bit like a Back to Church Sunday, although not exclusively, but an invitational theme service that you'll see in that calendar that will flow out of that. We are saying, let's bless that and encourage that. We're also saying to churches, you don't have to do all of this. You know, don't be overwhelmed. Do what you feel you can do. And a number of people, the reason I didn't online it, is they kind of said, well, if we do Easter, if we do Harvest and Christmas, I'm not sure I can do June. That's fine. You know, if you want to make June. But there is an invitation strategy that will be flowing out for that weekend in June. Yeah.
Well, you've talked about the power of doing this together. I would imagine there's folks who are fully engaged with hope that aren't engaged with your faith and vice versa. How can we join the dots and work together closer on that?
I think the key thing, and it's probably for you to discuss, is we can inform you from our end, any church that's signed up to say they're with us in this region. Now, data protection, we'd have to watch how we did that. But also, if you're signed up and people that maybe won't be in this constituency but would be in Hope, because maybe it's a different, you know, there's certain streams and we understand all of that. We know for a fact that all the redeemed churches in this community are signed up. So if the redeemed church are not in as part of, then they've already, they're reading from on high, Pastor Abby has said, we're in. So you can say to them, how are you doing that? How's that working? So I think that's the only way we could join that up. Because of these data protection rules, it is so difficult for us to give out information and for you to. So it's almost you saying, are people in to the different constituency and groups and seeing how that works. The other thing that's happened is because it's coming from denominational leaders into their stream, a number of them are picking it up from there. And I'm not sure, they may not be part of this network. So I think we're just going to have to...
Sorry, will we get it from the denominational leader, like the Chris Cartwright healing?
Yes.
Will he send that message?
It's already been spoken at their conference.
Yeah, yeah.
The brochure's been given out.
Yeah, okay.
And he's doing a video with Mark
yeah.
to that, to go out to every church to look at it for 18, which will be coming out in the autumn.
Oh, yeah.
Chris and Mark Greenwood.
Yeah.
And Mark sits on our leadership team. Kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you don't have any questions, we don't have to kind of.
As I say, it's very inspiring. It's very inspiring. I was here a couple of years ago when we were at Rossley Hill and we were talking at Rossley Hill, and then we developed Hope 88, Hope 14, by Rossley Hill Church. So for 2 years following your talk at Rossley Hill Church, so a couple of years ago, quite a lot of churches in South Liverpool, we got together and we did sort of two big events. The coordination of that, sadly to say, we didn't that present real interest with it of doing this year, and then actually suddenly we didn't do anything. A lot of these things do need their, especially doing such a bigger event, you do need a sort of thing. So it's nice to be talking at little small events that you can do in your churches. And then also we're hoping to do a Hope 2018 we have planning to start in September.
Brilliant.
That's a big thing in the summer in South Rossley Hill. So we don't know which area we're doing, certainly South Liverpool, we're going to have all churches working together. Again, it may be on Austin Hill Field, it might not be back somewhere else, but that's going to happen already. That's started. Ted was emailed around and saying that when we're going to meet them. So also partly in response to all the things in Manchester, we were also sort of moved and led last week that we just got to do something.
And I think there are a number of areas that are now in that planning stage to say, yeah, we'll do this as churches, but we're going to do something big together
yeah.
as part of 18. Some are looking at fun days. Fun days is a bit of an anomaly that kind of happened in Opa 8 that we didn't even promote, that has caught right across the nation. I mean, it is amazing. So Polna Baptist, which is in Ringwood, kind of put a toe in the water, and they had 4,500 people come. And they now do it every other year. The big challenge is how do they move from there to the pathway to come into faith. And that was what I was challenging them. So it's great you get 4,500, but what happens next? What's the pathway for that to happen and to see that? Because I want people to come to faith in Christ. You know, I think it's great that we're known for all these expressions. Probably the reason they love us and think we're amazing is because they see that we're behind Food Bank, we're behind, and that's fantastic. But we've just got to be intentional, and these are intentional moments where we can do that. If you want any amount of anything, to take back to churches or whatever, just contact our office or contact your office. Maybe you have some more of these, do you? Then, if we can serve you, that's what we seek to do. Thanks for listening and the opportunity to share with you. Bless you.
Roy, thank you so much. Absolutely inspiring. And I hope we're going to see dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of churches engaging with Hope 18. Just a final reminder then, if you want to make your way back to that room before you leave, we'd love to get you to sign up for the T of H mailings. If you're not already on the list, look for that bit of paper. There are some of the last magazine. It's there's a new one going to be due out by the end of this month, but there's some of the last one if you didn't get that. And if you'd like to consider becoming a member of TFH, that means you also get to be a member of the Evangelical Alliance, and you get the magazines mailed to you. And that would be a great way of supporting the vision of TFH as well. So, John, Mr. Cavanna, would you like to come and close in prayer for us?
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Roy. Father, thank you for the amazing things that you're already doing in our nation.
Mm.
It's great, Lord, that you are moving and that lives are being touched. Thank you for all the amazing stories we've heard tonight.
Thank you,
so encouraging us, to us, Lord. thank you for the inspiration of it. And Lord, we pray that we might just become more united in spirit, intent on that purpose of working together to reach every man, woman, and child with the good news of Jesus. Lord, we pray that this year and next year might be 2 years of amazing moves forward in your church in this nation. Lord, we cry out to you, Lord, may we see the church increase by 10% next year, Lord. We believe it can be done, Lord. Lord, we know that it's not impossible with you. And we worship you and praise you, Lord. Inspire your church. Help Hope do this as they move around from place to place. Pray your blessing on them, Lord. Pray your provision for them, Lord. Help them to get all the things in train that they want to do, Lord, with the publications particularly. And bless them and keep them safe, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Roy, final thing. If people want to make any contributions towards Hope, how would they do that?
We'd love them to do that.
How would they do that?
They could just send, I mean, obviously they've got the address, they can send a check, or if they're on the website, they can donate through that as well.
Okay.
Which is hopetogether.org.
Okay, brilliant. So, you've got the information. We'd love you to invest in Hope and pray for it as well, because we believe God's going to use it powerfully. Roy, well, thank you again so much.
Thank you.
God bless you, and see you soon.